speaking on Monday, the president was not clearly understood by some people. Because he is a law professor, he spoke in shorthand.
Who knew? Who knew that the president could speak shorthand? I'll bet you Stephen Dinan did. Hi, Stephen.
How are you, Andy?
Can you believe some of the stuff coming out of the White House press briefings over this whole Supreme Court brouhaha?
Well, so I actually, I may be contrarian on this, but I think that Carney's explanation is correct. We all had law. I didn't have law professors. We all had professors who sort of got into their area of expertise and assumed a basic sense of knowledge. The problem for them is that this is not a law professor. This is the president who said something. Who said some very clear words. Even if what was in his brain wasn't what he said, the answer is to come out and say, "I messed up. Here's what I meant to say," which is what apparently his law professor Lawrence Tribe said. Yeah, he misspoke. The issue here is that the White House won't just say he misspoke. It's, oh, no, his brain was moving much faster than the rest of you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I loved how Jay Carney managed to twist it to this was the reverse of intimidation. Listen to this.
It's the reverse of intimidation. He's simply making an observation about precedent and the fact that he expects the court to adhere to that press.
He wasn't trying to intimidate the court. It's the reverse of that.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is one of those ones where, I guess maybe they're too deep into it, and so they can't just come out and say, yeah, we should have just kept our mouths shut on this. But it's, overall, this is one of those ones where the atmospherics of, and we talked about it, standing there with two world leaders and going into these remarks about the Supreme Court, it seems now in hindsight bound to have got him in trouble no matter what he said about it. And that's, it's continued today. Even as they try and tamp down on this, Mitch McConnell today basically, in pretty harsh language, told the president to back off. Republicans see an issue they can have a lot of fun with no matter how far they take it.
And you know what? If you're like me, I sort of every once in a while, and I don't care if it's Republicans or Democrats in the White House, I like to see them squirm a little bit from time to time just to show that they're real and they really can step in it,
I think that's probably exactly what Mitch McConnell is doing today, is making him squirm. And that's, which is, I don't know, this is a guess on my part, but I assume that sort of stems from the same thing. Just come out and say, I misspoke.
I know.
And then you can stop squirming. But as long as we have this sense of, there's no mistake here. I said exactly what I meant to say, and it's that you all weren't keeping up with me. That's when people are going to start poking at you.
Yeah, I had to laugh out loud because Bill Plant of CBS News today in the briefing says, the president had a misspoken moment. Now, had that been a Republican, it would have been a lie.
Yeah, Carney, I guess, did come back pretty hard at Plant and some of the other reporters. I mean, it's been such a fascinating exchange to watch the back and forth.
Okay, now, the other piece of this puzzle was the demand by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals of the Justice Department to come forward with a letter, and it even had to be, what, 3 pages or something?
3 pages, single-spaced.
Right. Yes. And explain the position of the White House when it comes to reversing or gunning down laws or changing, positions?
Exactly right. So the doctrine of judicial review, and that the courts have the power to review and strike down laws they believe are unconstitutional, that which is essentially what the president seemed to be, at least on Monday in his initial words, seemed to be challenging when he said that it would be unprecedented for the court to overturn a law that was passed by a strong majority in Congress. The Justice Department, in its filing, said, no, in fact, we have always accepted the power of the courts to review laws passed by the Congress and to issue a final ruling on their constitutionality, to be the final voice on the constitutionality. So, without actually the very final line of the letter, and it's the letter signed by Eric Holder, the Attorney General, the very final line, Holder says, this is consistent with what the President has always said. Now, of course, that's not consistent with the words that came out of his mouth on Monday, but the administration, this is yet another effort to try and say, look, there is nothing to this. Everything remains normal, and no, we did not mean to challenge the supremacy of the courts. Having said all that, there's Republicans may be overplaying their hand here. The question of judicial review is not a settled question for a number of Republicans. You may remember Newt Gingrich in particular earlier this year, I guess last year, made a big point of saying that the if we turn over this power to the courts, where nine people get to decide the final word on everything, as opposed to elected members of Congress and an elected president, we're giving a lot. Essentially, you have a super legislature of nine people, mm-hmm. and this goes all the way back to Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson. A lot of folks, a lot of people throughout history have questioned whether nobody really disagrees that the Supreme Court has a role in review. The question is whether it is the guarantee. Keyed final word in review, and that what they say is unchallengeable, that they're the only ones who have a say in constitutionality. And as I said, conservatives have protested that, some conservatives have protested that for years and years and years. And in their complaints about Obama, a number of them have said the court is the final arbiter, which would essentially walk back that argument they've been trying to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but come on, it's an election year.
I guess, although, you know, it's just one of the, it's one of those things, you're exactly right. It's an election year. It's one of those things where they are they're hurting the long-term philosophical argument for the short-term of political gain, essentially, as you said, to make Obama squirm.
Yeah. And I laughed out loud today because I saw desperation on behalf of some of the left-leaning networks to try to make comparisons to other presidents. And, I mean, they're really digging. I imagine they got a full force of people trying to come up with something similar dating back to whenever.
What's the best? Did you see what the best one is they came up with?
Something related to George W. Bush, actually, I think. But I wasn't able to get the whole story yet. But I'm working on it. I want to find out what they find. That's for sure.
Well, that'd be interesting. You know, to tie Obama to George Bush would be interesting. I mean, Bush, who of course famously misspoke all the time, and always had to deal with that. Yeah. You know, again, the issue here is Obama tells us he didn't misspeak. He was speaking properly, and the problem was with the listener, not the speaker.
Of course, and I mean, how many of us really speak shorthand?
Speaking on Monday,
legal shorthand, no, Commerce Clause shorthand, no.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so now what happens? The Circuit Court of Appeals gets the letter. They just look at it and go, "Okay, thank you," and it's over.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it struck me that the court was more essentially trying to make the president squirm, and basically, there's something more to it. The court was trying to get the Justice Department appropriate legal language to reaffirm the doctrine of judicial review and make it essentially tweak the president, but say, look, let's be serious here. We do have the ability to do this, so that you know, it could be for later if the Fifth Circuit and eventually the Supreme Court rule against the health care law, you've already seen Democrats in laying some groundwork for, oh, that's an activist court, essentially, which would call into question the legitimacy of the ruling by saying that's an activist court, they're overstepping their bounds. This letter essentially says that the Justice Department recognizes that, no, this is the job of the court to do that. You can disagree with the ruling, but it's not that they are going beyond what they legally should or can be doing, according to the administration. So in some ways, by issuing this letter, the administration has said, yes, we are, in fact, bound by the ruling and will accept it.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see if Carney gets more questions on this tomorrow or it simply just finally goes away.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I mean, it's, you know, the more people come out like Professor Tribe and say the president misspoke, there will be pressure on the president to come out and himself admit he misspoke. I think maybe we'll end up having to wait for the next interview the president does with a network and see if they ask him then. I imagine we've probably got all the blood we can out of Carney at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah. You know, Gretchen Carlson had an interesting guest this morning. I don't know if you saw it or not. Professor Tom Lambert, he was an Obama student in college, and now he's a professor in Missouri at some college, but he also clerked for Jerry Smith. And so he had a connection to both the circuit court judge and to Obama. And the first things out of his mouth were, hey, you know, this is not the professor I had. He didn't sound, you know, what he said didn't make sense to me. Speaking of Obama. So it's really, I mean, the story just keeps growing in different little branches. You know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, in the scheme of things, it was probably unlikely that Obama was ever, you know, whatever words came out of his mouth, that he would actually be able to undo the doctrine of judicial review, which is why, you know, it's a lot of time and effort's been spent on what's really a fascinating story, and underneath of it all, there's some major, you know, talking about those philosophical issues, there's some major issues there, all from what is quite clearly a presidential misspeak.
Yep. All right, Stephen, thanks for the update. We'll see you later.
My pleasure.
Take care. Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. 426, 7:30 a.m. 102.9 FM. WTNT, the truth.